being that you've mastered Amazon, TikTok, and both of them serving as brand building, part of your brand building playbook, what are the nuances? Like, how do you approach the two platforms differently? And what do you think founders often get wrong?
There tends to be this belief, with kind of novice consumer brands and e-com founders that online marketplaces are all the same. And Amazon and TikTok could not be more different. They are on opposite ends of the spectrum. We like to think of TikTok as shoppertainment. I will be the first to admit that, anytime I scroll TikTok, I buy, just this last week, I must have bought like five super unnecessary things, and my wife is starting to roll her eyes whenever packages show up at the door. But TikTok is almost exclusively impulse buys, so you see a creator, an influencer that using a Nuderma and swearing by its effects, it creates that urge to buy a product. Amazon isn't like that. I go to Amazon because I need my everyday necessities, or I have an intent to purchase something.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Retail Refine, a market scale podcast with your host, me, Melissa Gonzalez. Today, I'm excited to sit down with Dave Dama, who's the visionary co-founder and CEO of Aquasonic and the co-founder and president of the Pure Daily Care brand. With a proven track record of bringing innovative consumer products to the market and things that become quick bestsellers, especially on Amazon and TikTok Shop, which we'll talk a little bit more about, I'm excited to dig in with him on all things entrepreneurship, innovation, dental care. We've already quickly established that I might have to relook at my toothbrush game at my home. So maybe, maybe not, we dive into that. But Dave, thank you so much for being on with us today.
My pleasure. Happy to be here.
Yeah, great. All right. Well, I gave a super high level introduction to you to the audience. And what I'm really excited for us to dive into is your innovative and entrepreneurial mind. But before we do that into more detail, tell us a little bit about Aquasonic. You launched it in 2017. It is a number one bestseller. Tell us about why you saw a void in the market and what your brand solves for the consumer.
Aquasonic was born just out of a really simple value proposition back then. I don't know if we remember, 9, 10 years ago, the two electric toothbrush brands on the market were Philips Sonicare and Oral-B Braun. I mean, electric toothbrushes were considered a luxury item, if anything, and it wasn't widely accessible to anyone. And at that time, I had a background in dentistry. I was on my way to dental school before, luckily, I pivoted to consumer products. And my partner and I just, and my co-founder and I just realized that there's a niche in the market. There's no affordable or widely accessible oral care option in the electric toothbrush space. So we filled that void. I had a Philips Sonicare. I had one for 2 years. I had bought it for, it was like $110, and then every few months you have to buy new brush heads. And I realized after 2 years, I had spent like $400, $450 on this thing, which is kind of outrageous. So the value proposition with Aquasonic is, you're going to spend 10% of that, and it's going to last you that entire 2 years. And we came to market, and it just took off like a comet. I mean, we quickly have become the largest private label oral care brand online, and third overall, only to Sonicare and Oral-B. So the journey has just been, I can't believe we're here 8 years later talking about this, but it's been quite a ride, quite a ride. Not without its challenges, but we're excited every day at what we're doing.
Yeah, well, believe it because it's here. It's happened. Congratulations. And we are going to dig a little bit into those challenges because I think for those listening, how you've learned to navigate challenges and any advice you can share, I think will be really valuable. But I love kind of, how you've teed this up because the first thing I thought of was Apple, right? Like BlackBerry came first, but then Apple did it better. And that's the mentality. So when you pivoted, right, and put your entrepreneurial hat on, leaving dental school to pursue this, What were the first things you studied, right? I think you talked at a very high level about price point and things like that. But what have you learned about how do you enter a market that's already existing with history and disrupt it the way that you have?
So our disruption was pretty simple. It was, like I said, just the value proposition. There was an opportunity there because there was no, I'll put it this way. Let's think of, you know, we saw Philips, Sonicare, and Oral-B as, if we were comparing them to cars, as Ferraris and Lamborghinis. You know, no one's buying a Ferrari or Lamborghini for their first car. So I said, you know, how do I create a car with all the features of a BMW or Mercedes-Benz, but offer it for the price of a Toyota or a Volkswagen? And that's exactly what we set out to do. Electric toothbrushes are uncomplicated. You know, they're attached to a motor and they have a certain job to do. So we were able really to recreate the experience of using a top-tier electric toothbrush and offer it for, like I said, 10% of the cost. And that was it. That's how we disrupted the market. You know, consumers started flocking to us. You know, we started taking market share from these billion-dollar companies. And we're here now, continuing on that journey. You know, a lot of doors opening in retail and whatnot. But, I'm sure we'll get to that later.
Well, your first product, the Aquasonic, can I speak today? The Aquasonic Black Series Ultra Whitening Toothbrush has over 120,000 Amazon reviews. That is no easy feat. So you make it sound simple and you differentiate with price point, but consumers look for more than that. They look at product design, you know, how did you position it in the market? You know, what is your differentiated, you think, also kind of like customer engagement and go-to-market strategy that sets you apart?
A few different things. Design is, you know, definitely important. People want an attractive device. But more than that, you know, we focused on things like getting ADA accreditation, you know, the American Dental Association, to have actual clinical results that show, you know, our product's efficacy and reducing plaque, gingivitis, and really just creating a healthier mouth overall. You know, that's not something that too many brands can say. So, you know, when you marry that to an attractive device that looks good, that performs well at a price point that can't be beat, you know, you have a natural formula for success. And that's what we have, you know, and extended out to all the products in the Aquasonic line.
Yeah, I think that goes to, look, we study Gen Z very often, for example. We just released a year-over-year study, and what you're talking about is some of the things they want, and other generations too. Community reviews, authenticity, transparency, all those elements, I think we can categorize as you appealing to that and thinking about that from a brand standpoint.
Definitely. I think especially with Gen Z, one thing that we're seeing, especially just in the last, I want to say, you know, 2-3 years post-COVID era, is, you know, before Amazon was kind of the Wild West, you'd go on, you know, product listings and companies could make all sorts of unsubstantiated claims that just, you know, were faked, you know, for lack of a better word. You know, people made things up. So consumers have become privy to that. They know when, you know, something doesn't sound right or seem right. So the brands that succeed nowadays really have to invest in, you know, substantiating their claims, like, you know, we do with Aquasonic through the ADA and other studies that we conduct on our own. But I would say that's a big game changer in today's world, is if you want to be a reputable brand and not just a kind of anybody brand on Amazon or TikTok, these are the things that you have to invest in. And it resonates with Gen Z and the modern day consumer, is, you know, they'll turn to you first when you're able to substantiate and prove that your product does what it says it does. So we've taken that formula and poured huge sums of money, and not just in Aquasonic and, you know, our other brand, Pure Daily Care, which is a viral smash hit on TikTok, you know,
we're going to talk more about for sure.
Yes. So we've conducted clinical studies there and, you know, and substantiated claims of, you know, how it improves your skin and what it can do for you. And, you know, people are eating up, they understand that, The product is not a gimmick, and it does what it says it does.
So when did your brand, when did you turn to TikTok?
We turned to TikTok, I want to say late 2021. It was, I want to say like, you know, we had this like grand strategy, or we put plans in motion to make ourselves a viral smash hit. But what we found out is people, you know, we had thousands, tens of thousands of people talking about us on TikTok organically. We hadn't paid a single person. And the reason for that is our new derma wand, our beauty wand, just works. And I mean, we get testimonials every day that it's changed their life, cleared their acne, grown their hair. Second we set up shop on TikTok, it was, you know, we were sold out every day, any inventory that we had available was gone and snapped up in hours. And we were just blown away by the, you know, market reaction. So, that one was more just kind of the result of, creating and substantiating, the effects and the benefits of our product over many years. And you know, the market spoke for itself.
Well, look, both platforms, you've had a lot of success, and that's great. And I think you're very humble in how you talk about it, because it's not an easy feat. But being that you've mastered Amazon, TikTok, and both of them serving as brand building, part of your brand building playbook, what are the nuances? Like, how do you approach the two platforms differently? And what do you think founders often get wrong?
Yeah, great question. So, you know, there tends to be this belief, you know, with kind of novice consumer brands and e-com founders that online marketplaces are all the same. And Amazon and TikTok could not be more different. You know, they are on opposite ends of the spectrum. We like to think of TikTok as shoppertainment. You know, I will be the first to admit that, you know, anytime I scroll TikTok, I buy, you know, just this last week, I must have bought like five super unnecessary things. And my wife is starting to roll her eyes whenever packages show up at the door. But TikTok is almost exclusively impulse buys. You know, so you see a creator, an influencer that you know, using a new derma and swearing by its effects, it creates that urge to buy a product. Amazon isn't like that. You know, I go to Amazon because I need my everyday necessities, or I have an intent to purchase something. I'm looking for something to buy. So I'm going there with an intent to purchase. TikTok isn't like that. I didn't know I wanted to purchase something until I saw it right in front of my face as I was scrolling my feed and saying, oh, you know, this super sour candy. I love candy. So, they had last night I bought the world's most sour candy. I didn't know I needed it. I wasn't expecting to buy it, but it showed up on my feed. I'm like, I want to try this. And, you know, I clicked the buy button right there. So, you know, same thing with our new derma is there is that kind of sense of urgency that's created when people, for example, with acne issues or hair loss issues or, you know, skin elasticity issues, it kind of comes to the forefront of their attention with one single swipe of their finger that, you know, here's a product that can solve those issues for you or make them better. So that's the difference. It's TikTok is, there is a kind of instant sense of urgency to buy that's created while you're entertaining yourself. We call it shoppertainment, like I said. And Amazon, people are going there with the intent to purchase something, you know, as the world's, you know, biggest marketplace.
So with TikTok, there's also collaboration with influencers. How do you go about that? You know, are you aligning it to your campaigns? What filters are you using? And what do you think, if you think back, like the most successful partnership, what made it successful? And then one that wasn't, what would you have done differently next time?
So you can't, you know, what we've learned on TikTok is you can't really fake, or it's hard to fake that product's relationship with a consumer. We've had the most success with influencers who were talking about our product. Like I said, before we were even on TikTok shop, So we found these communities of influencers who were using the new Derma Wand for acne specifically. A lot of people had cystic acne, and they found that the product really helped them. So when we reached out to those influencers and said, "Hey, we have a TikTok shop now. We'd love for you to speak to the product and earn affiliate commissions," we had tremendous success there. Because they were real organic experiences that these affiliates and influencers had, and they could communicate that to a potential buyer. We had the least amount of success with, random product seeding with, we tried agencies that said, "Hey, we'll get your, 500 influencers a month, your product, and have them speak to it." And, it's kind of just the throw a bunch of darts at the dartboard and see what sticks approach. And that's much less effective, because people and consumers can see right through that. They can't connect the video. I would say for any brand or any brand that's looking to really succeed on TikTok, search for communities, and see if people are already talking about your product. What are they saying? And, you'll be surprised. You'll find that there are, a ton of people that are probably already, talking to, their friends, family, their followers, and tap into that, contact them and say, "Hey, we noticed you've been using our product. We'd love to partner with you." So I would say that that's really step one into playing a foundation for building a successful and communicative affiliate network for your brand.
Yeah, I think staying disciplined with that is a huge part. Often it's easy to kind of get seduced and stray. And well, tell us a little bit more. You teased out a little bit your Pure Daily Care, and we talked a bit about Aquasonic in the beginning, but let's hear a little bit more about Pure Daily Care.
Pure Daily Care is one of Amazon's and now TikTok's. I keep forgetting that we become so viral on TikTok, but we're a leading skincare device manufacturer. My partner and I started it 10 years ago, 2015. My mom was actually an esthetician, and back then, a lot of these devices, like a high frequency device that you'll see in, with New Derma, or facial steamers, consumer facial steamers, didn't really exist. My mom would have me put my head over a pot of boiling water.
Oh,
with
we
a
still
towel.
Do that. Yeah.
She, that's how you got rid of blackheads and moisturized your skin back then. And she had a beauty clinic, and I said, there's an opportunity here. There's not many affordable skincare devices or options for at-home use. So we introduced our first product, the Nano Steamer, which is an ionic facial steamer, which is has been the best-selling facial steamer online for the last decade since its introduction. And then we moved into our viral smash hit New Derma Wands. Where we really took off is COVID. So what happened during COVID? You were locked in your home. What, beauty routines shifted.
Staring at your face on Zoom.
Exactly right. Exactly right. So people's beauty routines had to shift to the home. So, I want to take all the credit and say we made all the right moves, but a lot of luck was involved here. And that, sometimes you need luck to succeed as an entrepreneur. But we were, one of the businesses that benefited from COVID. And I hate saying that, because so many businesses suffered and it's terrible, but it had the opposite effect for us. We grew 400%, 500% each year for 2.5 years. And where we thought that the trend would go back to people going out for their beauty appointments never really happened. It can, a lot of it just permanent, these routines shifted permanently towards the home. That's how we are where we are now with our best-selling devices, our steamer, our new Derma Wands and everything else.
Yeah, I mean, my shopping list is just growing as we speak. But as you talk, and it's funny because I had a whole beauty conversation with my daughter last night about DIY and all the things, and she's a Gen Alpha. So what are your thoughts about this craze? And I think Gen Alpha is a ripe opportunity for anybody in skincare. And it's a little underestimated, especially because what you're talking about with steaming, it's like a pure thing to do. A lot of them are putting way too many chemicals on their skin, way too young. What are you thinking about the Gen Alpha opportunity when it comes to skincare?
We are all about it. I mean, we, you know, I and many people think that, you know, beauty in the past few decades was too focused on, chemical, and inorganic treatments. You didn't really know what you were putting on your skin. And, you know, the clean beauty revolution, I think, is it's overdue. And what I think about personally is our brand is in prime position to take advantage of that, because our devices, our Ionic Steamer just uses steam. You know, it's as natural as it gets. Nuderma uses kind of the power of static electricity, you know. So we're in prime position to appeal to a Gen Alpha, you know, and it's easy to speak to them, because we're not hawking anything that's artificial or, you know, includes chemicals. It's all natural, clean beauty. And we've been built like that since the start 10 years ago. So it's kind of been an effortless transition and easy to market.
Yeah. And they're the ultimate creators. right. I mean, they're so digitally fluid with what they do and how they create, whether it's Roblox or, you know, content for YouTube. So we talked a little bit about, you know, digital engagement and Amazon and TikTok and spanning generations. You've also moved into brick and mortar retail over time. And what's your strategy there? And how do you ensure that brand identity, especially, like, it's really hard, I think, to compete at the shelf. And, you know, unless you have brand owned environments, how does the brand identity stay intact? And how are you educating?
Aquasonic is making its leap into brick and mortar as of September. We're in Walmart stores. It has definitely not been an easy ride. I can tell you that having a successful, you know, online Amazon direct to consumer business, most people think it would make it, you know, easy to translate that to a successful brick and mortar business, and that's just not the case. So it really, you know, it depends on your brand and the product you're selling. Again, we're with Aquasonic, it's a toothbrush. We have enterprise appeal because anybody who brushes their teeth, which is hopefully everyone, is a potential customer. So, we found out very early that retailers like Walmart and some of the other big ones, they're competing with Amazon. You know, they're competing with the same customer. So, we couldn't take our Black Series with 120,000 reviews. We thought it would be an easy sell. Hey, we have one of the best selling toothbrushes in the world. Walmart, I'm sure you want to put this on your shelves and sell this. And they said, no, we don't. You know, like, why would we want to do that? We need a better offer, or you need to offer us some sort of innovation in pricing or your value proposition to make, you know, for us to consider. So we got to work in doing that. In kind of creating retail specific products that retailers would be happy putting on shelves, because they saw it as a better value for their customers while not competing with our core Amazon business, which, you know, is one of the biggest in the world right now. So it was a monumental challenge, and it took a few years to do. So It's not easy. It's not easy. Most people don't even try to tackle physical retail anymore when they have a successful direct to consumer Amazon brand, because of the challenges that come with it. But Aquasonic, I would say, was able to do that just because of the nature of the product and the brand.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you're correct. It is not an easy thing to do, in that storytelling and those nuances that you're talking about. You have these big kind of retail giants you have relationships with, but they're competitors at the same time, and how to navigate that. Really smart that you came out with something unique and signature. And I think consumers like that too, because they're going to discover you in a new way that feels fresh and different if you have a differentiated product online versus offline, yet all still true to brand. You mentioned, now that we're back on Aquasonic, the other big topic I think that there's growing awareness about is well-being and gut health. And so how are you bringing that into the dialogue a little bit more these days? You know, can you talk to the audience about that and how that messaging, you know, kind of coexists with dental care?
So yeah, it's not just gut health anymore. I think, you know, in the last 10 years, we've well established the link between gut health and overall well-being. You know, it's almost like every month they're coming out with, you know, depression and certain dementias are linked to, you know, your gut microbiome. But more exciting for us is there's now, you know, a link between your oral microbiome and a lot of these same longevity markers. So, you know, they're finding that people who floss less are at a higher risk for Alzheimer's or early memory loss, which is, you know, kind of crazy to think about. But
that's on the rise.
Yes. And the science is emerging. The science is emerging, you know, that a healthy oral microbiome, you know, means a healthier brain, means a healthier body. So we see, you know, in the next 5 years, we think there's going to be an explosion in education on how taking care of your mouth means taking care of your whole body. And, you know, that's a very exciting thing for us because, you know, we're in prime position to capture a lot of that increasing market share. So we are now kind of exploring the early possibility of conducting studies and going back to what we were talked about earlier in the interview is substantiating a lot of these claims on, you know, how we can make a link between a healthy mouth and a healthy body and mind. So we're teaming up with scientists and labs to see how we can do exactly that to really, you know, bring the brand forward and into the future.
Yeah, I love that. I think it's imperative because it's coming up to the surface so much more. So many people kind of talking about well-being and people living longer and, you know, you're getting more exposed to different ailments. And if you could be preventive, we're not preventive enough.
Totally agree. 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. So educating around that, I think is just another, you talked about differentiating through value proposition. And I think it's an example of how you continue to do that beyond price and product design. So, you talked about a lot of things that you've done, a lot of things have worked well, things that you might do different. Looking back, is there one maybe more unconventional decision that you made that kind of made a difference in your journey, and especially your evolution from being a dental student to leading two powerhouse consumer?
Yes, definitely. I would say probably the biggest decision that my partner and co-founder and I made was, you know, when we had early success in 2015 and 2017 with Pure Daily Care and Aquasonic, a lot of kind of big players in this space said, well, what are you still doing on Amazon? You know, like real brands don't, you know, set up shop and, you know, focus on Amazon, like get off Amazon. You know, it was almost like a dirty word back then.
Amazon. It was, know, like, it's you're true.
Not, yeah, you're not a real brand if you, you know, if you're customer base is solely on Amazon. So, you know, we ignored that noise and focused entirely on Amazon. And, you know, it paid off. We've become, you know, two of the biggest brands in their respective categories. And fast forward to 2025, people, you know, brand building has been flipped on its head. You can totally build a brand on Amazon or TikTok first. And then, you know, get the attention of retailers like Walmart and Target through that. So I would say that's one decision that, you know, really shaped the course of the business and brands overall.
Yeah, I mean, it's not easy to have that first mover mentality, but if you have an always learning mentality, which I'm guessing you did, then you can navigate that, right? Because I'm sure there were so many changes with how you engage with Amazon from today to back then.
Yes, definitely.
All right. Well, a lot to be inspired about with all your continued success. But before we let you go, I'm going to go do some rapid fire questions. I feel like I already know the answer to question one, but I'm going to ask it to you anyway. Okay. So first rapid fire question. What's the first thing you do when you wake up?
check my phone, and I hesitate to say it because my wife gets so upset. She says you're supposed to.
You did hesitate. I thought you were going to say brush your teeth. But
he's been training me to say good morning and give her a kiss before I check my phone, but I still have a bad habit of.
These are good practices. And if you watch Dave Shetty on Instagram, he would tell you the same. So
I do follow him, but I still haven't learned my lesson. So I'm working on it.
Okay, things to work on. All right, second one, tool of the trade, one product you personally cannot live without, except for your toothbrush, because we already know that.
Our water flosser. So I was not a terrible flosser. I didn't floss. I'll admit it here right now. But water flossing made it so much easier. So my water flosser.
Oh, I love that. I need to get that too. Okay. Amazon or TikTok, where do you search first?
Amazon.
Okay. But that lines up with what you said, and you probably go with intention versus.
If I know I need something, I go to Amazon first. TikTok, I didn't know I needed it, but I need it now. So
that makes sense. Well, thank you so much for this conversation, Dave. I think everybody appreciated it, and it's always inspiring to see somebody be a disruptor and a first mover and all the things that you talked about. So we'll continue to follow. Love to see how you're going to engage with Gen Alpha, especially being a mother of one, and all the kind of education you put out there with your new study as far as, well-being and dental care. So everybody, again, this is Dave Dama, CEO of Aquasonic, and thank you so much for spending the time with us.